Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is your host Nicole Buskai, and you're listening to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Well, first I just want to say I hope the chat room is open because I tried to launch and it didn't want to work. It looks like it's having some trouble today. And also I want to just mention that for those of you who were looking forward to the interview with Lori Bruno, she is still going to be coming onto the show. However, she had an emergency this morning and was not able to come on to the show today. So I'm just wishing her luck with whatever situation she's dealing with and hoping that it comes out well and turns out the way it's supposed to. And we'll welcome her to the show next week. Okay. Let's see. Okay, the chat room's open now. So if anyone was trying to get into it and it wasn't there, it is now there. I don't know how that happens, but you know, I'm not a technology aficionado. So what's going on? What's happening? I didn't get a chance to promote the show this week on the website. Let's see. So that's probably why I only have one caller in the queue right now, and I don't know if it's a listener or not. But if you're in the chat room and you're also on the phone, just send me a little something so I know if you're just listening or if you're actually wanting to call in with something, like a question or something. Okay. Now that I got all that set up, I just love having my computer with like 20 screens open when I'm trying to do the show. Okay, so what have I been up to? Well, I've been up to a few things. There's a few things I want to talk about this week. One of them that I'm going to quickly mention, only because I think I'm going to have the person who's behind this project on the show as a guest, is called the Revealed Project. And you can find this if you go to revealedproject.com. It is a wonderful project, and it's by, I'm going to say the guy's name probably wrong, Scott Indemauer. He wanted to do something, it was sort of like an inspired thought, and he wanted to do a project where the theory is, what if you gave someone a little wooden box, and you said to that person, you can put anything you want into this box that represents who you are or your spirituality. So he did this. And it was just a general call. Like, it wasn't, you know, specific to a certain group of people or an age group or demographic, location. Wherever he found himself, he put out the call. And he got, man, over 200 people to do this whole response. Hold on a second here. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm back. So anyway, I'm having a crazy day. He put this whole call out, and he got all these different people to come in and participate in this project. And there's people from every walk of life with any kind of experience you can think of, and they're all putting these different objects into this wooden box. So let me just put the I want to put the link in the chat room if I can. It's revealedproject.com. But I'm thinking basically, I'm going to have him on the show probably within the next couple of weeks if he can make time in the schedule. But if you go to the website, revealedproject.com, basically you can look on there. You can order the movie. You can order the book. The book has a lot more people in it than the movie does, just because of time purposes. But the movie itself is great. I bought a copy that night. I went to the screening at the First Spiritualist Church in Quincy, and I really enjoyed it. And it really speaks to what this show is about, which is basically trying to get people to really open up and explore who they are. Just take a look at it. I never ask people to pursue a specific path or a specific belief, but I always ask them to open up and to just look at themselves and then to entertain the idea that what they thought something was maybe could be a little bit different. So, this is definitely something I want to bring up. I want people to take a look at. It's fantastic. Take a look at it. revealed. It's also on Facebook, and apparently the Facebook page is updated daily. Is, you know, the website itself isn't updated quite as frequently. So I wanted to just ask everyone to check that out. So what else have I been up to? Well, I want to say hi to everyone in the chat room first. Hey, Susie. And everybody else whose names are guests, which means you guys are not registered. So if you get a chance, register and we can chat in the chat room together. One of the things I talk about a lot is, you know, I'm on my spiritual path, just like everyone else is on their own path. And I try to help people understand what it's like from the viewpoint of a person who has an ability to live their life. Because I know that everyone has their own ability and their own gifts. And if you can't, if you feel like you don't have that ability, it doesn't mean that you need to have it for other people. You don't need to look at someone and know everything about them, for example, or be able to tell them something. The ability that I'm talking about is the one that you have for yourself to tune into your own inner rhythms and to basically phone home. So if you could basically imagine your life waking up in the morning and instead of just, you know, the first thought being, what am I going to put in my mouth or, you know, what do I have to do today? And before having those thoughts, just start to think about your spirit basically coming back into your body, because I believe that we do travel when we're asleep. Our souls do kind of go to other places and do things. And just say thank you for this day. Thank you to all the spirits, the ancestors, the guides, the angels and guardians who are around me helping me. Please be with me today. You know, the simple act of doing that makes contact. You know, they're there all the time. It's not just like, you know, just because you're not in New Jersey doesn't mean New Jersey disappears. It's still there. You can't see it. You're not physically there, but it's still there. You have this acknowledgement on an energetic level with these beings that are, you know, there to help you, there to assist you when you need it. But it's a conversation that you need to start. You know, it's not always going to be something falling out of the sky and suddenly you have this epiphany. It has to be an ongoing dialogue. You have to care for it with the same love and nurturing that you would anything else. I mean, you can't expect a plant to grow just by itself if you just leave it out in a pot and don't water it. And you can't expect your relationships in life to flourish if you don't talk to people generally regularly, or you don't maintain some kind of contact. It's the same kind of a thing. If you really want to work closely with your own spirit, you have to have a relationship with it and a relationship with the spirit world in general that is always there. So, you know, something as simple as having a photo of your loved ones around. And I can tell you now from my experience, they love it when you keep photos of them around because they want to be remembered and they still are a part of your life, and they love it when you remember that they're a part of your life. Or simply just lighting a candle. Lighting a candle is a powerful exercise. It has more power than you realize. It's not just striking a match. It's there's intention with that. There's an acknowledgement with that. Imagine you're standing in a room and it's almost like a little cocktail party. And there's people there, but no one looks at you. No one notices you're there. No one sees you in any capacity. You know, you don't, even if you walk by and bump someone, they don't notice you at all. And all you want is for people to just say, hi, so-and-so, thanks for coming to the party. That's all your loved ones want. That simple act carries so much power. And, you know, we tend to overcomplicate things as human beings. We tend to make things a little bit harder than they need to be. The most important thing you can do for another human being is to acknowledge them, recognize them, and accept them. And, of course, the greatest gift you can give them is the gift of love. But having said that, if you don't have an awareness of this as you're going through your day, it's kind of hard for you to come from that place. See, I tend to think of everything as a symptom. And the cause of it, you know, anything that's going on in your life goes back to a core belief. If you can get yourself to a place where you're examining your core beliefs, you can come from that place in your life and everything will kind of will be more in resonance with who you are as a person instead of piecemealing everything and compartmentalizing everything like we all do. And I'm just as guilty of that in my life as the next person. I haven't lived a complete charmed life, or I wasn't always 100% awake, I guess if you want to call it. But I did realize at some point that there's a definite reason behind everything that I do. There's a motivation behind everything I do. And this fascination with psychology sort of plays into that as well. You know, I'm always curious about people. I'm constantly in this observer type of a role, and there's a lot of power in that as well. You see in others what you see in yourself. You know, how can you possibly recognize in somebody a need if you haven't felt it yourself? There's an instant recognition that happens, which is why I say that whole metaphor about everyone's a mirror for you is not quite as simple as they make it sound, you know? Because my instant comeback, being the skeptic that I am, is, oh, so if I see someone who's a serial killer, that means I'm a serial killer? No, that's that's not what it means. But, yeah, there's a lot to be said for living your life from the viewpoint of your own spirit instead of just this whole reactionary way of waking up and going about your business in the world, just reacting to everything and, you know, having it all be about your five senses and that you don't trust anything else. Even these gut instincts that you know are there for your own good. So, yeah, one of the things I talk about a lot, though, is the repetition that you get. And you're going to get a lot more repetition. You're going to get a lot more synchronicities and signs if you cultivate these relationships with the spirit world. Whatever you wish, it doesn't matter. This is not a system. It's not a scientific method, you know. It's not a step-by-step thing, although it is a process. But your process is going to be different from the next person's. You can try things. And in the process of trying, like, other people's processes, you might notice, it doesn't feel right when I do this. Okay, so discontinue that. What does feel right? I don't know. Something about flowers. Something about always having flowers reminds me of the spirit world. Okay, make sure you always have at least one fresh flower somewhere on your altar, somewhere on your table, something like that. You have to do what's in resonance with what you feel, because if you don't, the connection won't be there. It's you know, kind of pointless. So having said that, sorry, I kind of go off on talking about more than I wish that I did sometimes. Okay, so, you know, with that in mind, yeah, maybe I'm a little weird, but I do spend a lot of time at the cemetery. And by a lot of time, I mean like more than most people, which is like once a year on Memorial Day or on the death anniversary of someone that they love, just to put some flowers there. Why do I do this? Do I have some kind of fascination with death and the macabre? Well, of course I do. I think most people do, somewhere inside. You know, it's a part of life. However, the reason why I go is because it's one of the only places where there's hundreds of people and none of them bother me, which is kind of ironic because you'd think they'd all be talking to me, but they're not. I go there with a specific mindset, and the mindset is just for peace. So I go into the cemetery, and I generally will go and visit my grandmother because, yeah, I've been doing that since I was 8 years old. So I know exactly where her grave is, and it's under a tree. There's enough room for you to actually sit comfortably and not be on someone else's grave, which is really, I think, maybe a coincidence, but maybe not. But I will. I'll go, and I'll sit there, and I'll talk to her. Do I have to go there for that? No, but I enjoy the peace of the cemetery. I enjoy, you know, I have a lot of respect and reverence for the dead. So I go in, and I greet everyone. I tell everyone, you know, I thank you for allowing me to come here and to spend time with my grandmother. I hope I'm not disturbing anyone. You know, just the same way you would if you walked into someone's home. It's really not hard. So basically, I go and I'm having this discussion with my grandmother, and there were some men behind me that I have no idea what they were doing. I don't know if they were planting something. They were very loud and disrespectful. And I actually heard one of them made a comment, well, we should have brought our grill here and, you know, it would have been a great place to have a cookout and have some beers. And I'm thinking, why are these guys here? Why are they doing this? So I turned my attention back to my grandmother. She was like, you know what? Go visit your great-grandmother. Now, my great-grandmother is also in the same cemetery. Well, both of them are, actually, two of them. So I decided, okay, she wants me to get away from this situation, so I'm going to go do that. So I was like, okay, well, I know exactly where it is. I'm going to go to the area that I parked to the last time I was here, because I actually ran into a relative who showed me where it was. And we were like, okay, this is our marker. This is how, because the other grave is actually much further in, and there's just so many stones, sometimes it can be hard to find. So I decided, I know where it is now, I'm going to go do that. So I get out of the vehicle, and I'm walking, and I don't know if anyone's ever walked through a graveyard before, but you really, there's a lot of grass, and it's very deceptive. It's sometimes there's these, you know, natural grooves inside the earth where there's like a pit, but the grass is there so you can't see it. So it's almost like you're walking in one of those funhouse things with like the air, you know, you step and it goes down and you think you're going to be stable because the other side seems hard, and then you step and you fall down. And I started to get really almost disoriented. I'm looking around for the stone and I'm like, why can't I find the stone? I know it's here. I was here not too long ago. What happened? So I started to look around. Now, mind you, I've done this a couple of times. I'm not a stranger to the cemetery. Well, as I looked around, I noticed a very, very large stone all of a sudden just jump out at me. And the name on it, the last name on it, has extreme significance in my life. It's actually one of my teacher's last names. And then I looked around a little bit more, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. Is that a sign? You know, because I'm always questioning. I looked a little bit further, and I saw another last name that was someone that's close to me in my life, and I thought, oh, my God. So I kept walking, and it was like I was wading through all of these stones trying to find my poor great-grandmother's stone. And I saw two more names that were some people that are close to me in my current life, like not from a long time ago, not from, you know, high school or anything like that, like now. And I have been in the cemetery many times, and those stones never jumped out at me. It hit me. Before I had decided to go see my great-grandmother, because my you know, those men were there kind of causing a little bit of a ruckus, I was asking the question. I said, you know, can you show me the people that are in my life that are here to help me, or can you bring them to me? Because I'm having difficulty moving forward, you know, the same prayer we all have. So these people that whose names I saw are the people who are going to help me move forward. Excuse me. And that's exactly what it was. I didn't get lost in the cemetery. I was directed. I was being moved by a force that knew greater than I did what I needed to do there that day. And eventually I did come to my great-grandmother's stone, and I thought, how silly, it's right here, just like I knew it was, and yet here I was walking back and forth and weaving in and out and apologizing to the poor people I was walking on. I thought, how did this happen? So I knelt down in front of my great-grandmother and great-grandfather with their stone, and I basically told them, you know, I was glad to see them. I came for a visit, and then I wanted to get their blessings, and also I wanted to give my blessings to them, to where they are and what they're doing. And I was overwhelmed with emotion, which, you know, I normally don't get like that when I go and visit someone's grave, but I did, just really overwhelmed with emotion. And all of a sudden, my great-grandmother started to come through to me a little bit, and you know, you always think it's going to be a specific kind of advice, or you think you're going to hear this special kind of message. And you know what the message was? Which I should have known, because if she was here, she would have said the same thing. Go home and get your stuff in order. Really? She said, go home, organize, get everything, make sure you know where everything is, make sure you know where you put it. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that both my grandmother and my great-grandmother were famous for were kind of having things in order, you know. You never went in their house and found things out of place, and they always knew where everything was. That's something I did not pick up genetically from this family. If you come into my room, any room, it doesn't matter. The kitchen, maybe the kitchen I probably had the most organized when I had my own kitchen. But that was just because it would drive me crazy if I was trying to find an ingredient in the middle of a recipe. But you have to go home and get your stuff in order, get your things in order. And I just smiled because that was so typical. I just had emptied my head and waited for the message, and that's what it was. And I'm sort of in the middle of doing that now. You got to remember, just the same way that we don't need to listen to people in our life, we don't really need to listen to the spirit world. I mean, it's kind of I feel as though if somebody from the spirit world makes the effort to come through, you should at least consider what they have to say, especially considering they have a little bit of a different perspective from where they are. But generally speaking, you don't have to listen, you know? You don't have to do anything they say. When people come for a reading and, you know, they want advice from their loved ones in spirit, which, you know, it's not something I get all the time. Most of the time they're looking for closure or stuff. But every once in a while it's like, well, what does my great-grandmother say about this person in my life? And, you know, if you valued that person's opinion in life, then I imagine you do when they're still, you know, when they're in the afterlife. They're still alive. They're still able to help you. If however, you didn't respect their opinion or they weren't good at something, I don't know that how much, you know, how much stock I would put in the advice that they gave. So you got to remember, you know, we don't become completely enlightened when we cross over. There are some things that we do know that we didn't know when we were here. Most of the messages that you'll get in a reading are, how can I put it? Sort of like confirmations that they're seeing what you're doing. Because the most important thing that people want you to know after they pass is that they're still a part of your life and they still see what you do. They're observing. And if you're, let's say you have a child after someone important in your life passes, you have to know that they see that child. It's not, I mean, people think that, oh, I wish this person had been here because they're missing all of this. Absolutely not. They're getting more of what they, you know, what they could have got here on the other side because they have so much more perspective. They can be anywhere. They can see everything. And no, they're not watching you in the shower. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I don't think so. There's actually a really famous, there's a book. It's called something like Do Dead People Watch Me in the Shower? I saw it in Barnes & Noble. If you want to see that kind of question and answer thing, the whole book is full of questions and answers. And it's all like little things like that are pretty funny. And it's actually a really good book. I should probably look it up on Amazon and give the person some credit here while I'm babbling about it. And maybe you guys should go look at that revealedproject.com while you get it, you know, while I'm doing that. Because I'm telling you, it will really make you think. And one of the things that he told us too in the class was, what would you put in your box before we watched the movie? Of course, I sat there and I thought, I have no idea. I don't know. I was totally speechless. Everyone in the class was pretty much the same way. And then after the movie, I had a completely different thought process about what I would put in that box based on how other people thought about it and what they saw. So definitely check that out. Okay. This book is called, first of all, why does Amazon have to put something in front so I can't see it? Okay. Do Dead People Watch You in the Shower? And other questions you've been all but dying to ask a medium. It's great. Conchetta Bertoldi. I'm going to paste that link in the chat room so you guys can, if you want to. It's kind of a long link because I did a search on it. But that's actually a pretty cool book if you want to take a look at that. Okay. So let me go there. So, yeah, that's a lot of people will tell you, you know, to be careful of cemeteries and things can attach themselves to you. And like I say in my previous shows, as long as you're coming from the right place, I would walk without fear. I think fear is what draws those things to you. If you walk there and walk in there with the intention of paying your respects and an air of reverence, and you're coming from a place of love, I really don't think you have to have any problem with carrying things home with you. Now, I will tell you that there are certain practices that people will follow. And, of course, this is going to segue into my talk about Lori Bruno. Reverend Lori Bruno, who's an elder and high priestess in the old world witchcraft, not in Wicca, it's a different tradition. It's not that one's better than the other. It's just a different tradition. It comes from a different place. One of the practices she talks about on Hex Education, which is a show on Blog Talk Radio, just blogtalkradio.com/hexeducation. She is on there with Christian Day. It's actually Christian Day's show, and she's sort of the Robin Quivers to his Howard Stern, which, believe me when I tell you, they need that. Somebody needs to balance him out sometimes. He gets a little crazy on there. But, you know, they work really well together, and the great part is that Lori will also share little tidbits to help people. or if there's a guest on the show that they normally do have a guest on the show. Sometimes it's open mic night and it's just whatever comes out. Lori will compare and contrast her ways to the ways of the person on the show, which is excellent. It really is an education, I have to say. Like, it's one of the better shows. If you can get past some of the, you know, the beginning of the show sometimes can be a little, I don't even know how to put it. It's a little humorous. It's a little lighthearted. It's not super serious, not heavy. It's a little bit of banter that goes on. You know, it's not coast to coast. It's not that kind of a show. It's much more casual. But when the guest finally gets on, you get a lot of stuff on there that you can't get this stuff other places. I don't know any other place that has all of these kinds of people on where you can actually learn this stuff and get their viewpoint. And then the callers call in, and of course, 9 times out of 10, the callers have the same questions that you would have had. So, yeah. So Lori will say something, you know, that's quite useful. It's like you listen to an hour and this little tiny shining bit of wisdom just comes through and you think, oh, you know what? I'm going to use that. So one of the shows that she was talking to someone about cemeteries and respect for the dead, and she mentioned that when you go into a cemetery or when you're leaving a cemetery, you should walk out backwards. Now, I don't suggest you drive out backwards in your car because that's probably going to be dangerous, but maybe walk backwards towards your car and sit inside and you know, proceed. The reason for that being that it's a sign. It's like an outward ritual type of a thing where you're showing the dead that you will never turn your back on them. And I think that's great. It's simple. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just a very quick and easy way to kind of show your respect. It's just, a small sign. So, she also recommends that you take some water with a little bit of kosher salt in it and you rinse off the bottom of your shoes. And that's just sort of like a purifying effect. You know, if there was anything that could have come home with you, this will take care of it. So, I love Lori Bruno because she has such a big heart. And, you know, for most people out there, I think you hear the word witch and you have all these preconceived notions and you think, you know, of all of the negative stereotypes or, you know, the green-faced witch and the wicked witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz or, you know, just the other things that Blair Witch Project type stuff. That is Hollywood, you know, that is not the reality. The reality is that there have always been witches and that for the most part, you never know who they are and you'll never hear about them because they practice their art quietly. And they're not, I would say for the most part, they're peaceful people. I have known a few people who in their witchcraft are a little bit shady, but you know what? They're shady in their regular life as well. The same person, you know, that's going to do something stupid in their typical life, when they go into this sort of a thing, they're going to have the same thing. It's that whole idea of they're coming from the same core belief system. So everything they do comes from the same place. The true magic is in the heart of the witch. And I believe that. I really do. I was raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school. Always had a reverence for the nuns. Not so much the priests. I don't know. Never had a connection there with any of them, but, you know, I guess we all know why that is probably the case now. But they just, the nuns that I had in school, they seemed to come from a place of love. I didn't have the evil, wicked nuns. I mean, grade school was different. High school, when I was in high school, I had more, they were just more gentle than they were. And I don't know if it's because they got older, but I really liked them. I almost at some point thought, I want to become a nun. I realize now that's probably never going to happen, especially now that I'm a minister in a pagan church. Woo, that's never going to happen. Lori Bruno, she actually started a church called Our Lord and Lady of the Trinacrian Rose. I actually have that up on my screen right now because I wanted to be able to talk about that a little bit. It's a church. It's a legitimate church in the state of Massachusetts. It's recognized. She has a lot of people that are ministers. However, we don't have a brick-and-mortar church. The church is within us, which goes back to this, your true magic comes from your heart. It's a church for humanity. It is not a church for dogma or, you know, necessarily specific rituals and practices. The only thing she asks is that people be kind to one another, that they minister to humanity. If you see someone who's hungry and you have food, give them some first. If you see a child or an animal that's being abused or neglected, step in and be the voice for that child or animal. She truly has an interest in creating a world where people love each other. And you'll hear her. If you go to Salem and you go to Hex, which is right on Essex Street, she'll tell almost everyone that she sees in there that she loves them. So, I mean, I really and truly want to try to get her teachings out there with her permission, of course. She is an amazing person. You know, you walk in the store and if she's not in a reading, she'll say, "How you doing? I love you." She lifts people up. She does not bring people down. If you're having an issue, she's very psychic, so she will be able to look into it for you. And she's not only going to tell you what's going on, she's going to help you figure out how to work through it, which is amazing. You know, I've had issues with certain relationships in my life over and over again, that family relationships can be difficult. Let's just put it that way. Over and over again, the same things happen. I'm like, what is going wrong? What is this? Why can't I not get past this lesson? And, you know, she's able to look me right in the eye, and with one or two words, I understand completely. And that's one of the things that's great about when you have an ability, when you are a psychically open person and you talk to another psychically open person, there's this magic that happens where it's like a transference of energy. It's not necessarily, hold on a second, I want to print this or post this in the chat room really quick. It's not necessarily just the words that are being spoken, it's the energy transference. It's amazing. There we go. Sorry about that. but she's a wonderful person. I recommend her to anyone who needs any kind of, you know, reading. She gives readings right out of Hex, but you can also call her. I'm going to put her website in the room too. She'll be on next week to tell you all about this, but I just want everyone to know my reason for bringing her on the show and what I feel is an important thing to learn, which is the redefinition of something you may have a preconceived notion of. You know, entertain the possibility that this may not be the only thing. This might not be the only way to look at it. And, you know, I learned that years ago from Anthony Robbins, you know, the big guru, Tony Robbins. And like I said, just like listening to Hex, all of a sudden something sparkles or stands out. And I think, oh, my God, that was a great piece of information. When I'm listening to Tony Robbins, you know, however long the track was, 45 minutes long, and then, bam, something just sticks out, and I go, oh, my God, that's it. That's the jewel in this that I need to take away. And what he said was, there's one thing you can do, and it'll change your life forever. One thought that you can have when something happens, when something goes wrong, when someone's late. Think to yourself before you jump and say, this person didn't want to show up on time, or this person just doesn't care about how I feel about this. Think to yourself, what else could this mean? And as soon as you do that, a whole new world opens up to you. New possibilities that you had not considered. We actually put limits on things with our thinking. And that's why a lot of people say your thoughts can control your reality. Once again, not as quite as straight up as, you know, if I think of a unicorn, it will become, you know, materialize in front of me. No. But if you consider, what else could this mean? Well, now all of a sudden you have a different perspective, don't you? And this is the kind of thing that Lori teaches. When you hear the interview next week, which I hope she'll be able to do, because a lot of things happen, you know, and I understand. I hope she shows up because I really, really want to get her on the show. You'll hear she comes from a different place than most people think she might. You know, like I said, you hear the word witch. And, of course, the name of the store is Hex, but, you know, she works there. Not everything in the store necessarily comes from her tradition. It's, you know, a store in Salem run by Christian Day, who is the most famous warlock in the world, I imagine. He's actually down in New Orleans. He opened up a second Hex down there, which I would absolutely love to go to. I know New Orleans is a magical place, and I can't wait to go there one day. I will make it there. At the moment, I got a lot of stuff going on, but Yeah, step into Hex. You'll step into a completely different world. They've got a lot of great stuff in there. They have candles, 7-day candles for everything from protection to the different saints, actually. They actually have one, too, which I would encourage you to make your own if you can't get in there. It's a 7-day candle, but on the outside of it, it says, in memory of, and there's a space where you can put your loved one's photo. Perfect. A perfect way to honor your loved one. You light the candle, you look at the picture, you say, you know, hi, Nana, I know you're with me today. I just want you to know that I love you and thank you for being there. That's it. Done. That's magic. It's, trust me, in general, Salem is a very, very magical place. Let's see. I got some people going in the chat room. What's whose name? Okay. I don't know what something got solved without me doing it. Awesome. I love it when that happens. Okay. So let's see. What else? Nobody's saying it. Well, it looks like everyone's just kind of talking in the chat room about what I'm talking about. So, yeah, and for those of you who are listening but don't have your computer screen up, I did paste her website. It's LoriBrunoPsychic.com, LoriBrunoPsychic.com. Yes, Christian Day. Yeah, maybe I can get Christian on the show someday. I haven't actually officially met Christian because he's been in New Orleans for a long time, but he's really interesting, and I have a lot of respect for him. And from the first time I heard the Hex Education Show, I was just howling. He's so funny. So funny. He loves to push buttons. He loves to stir the pot. You know, it's hilarious. You got to listen to the show. It's on every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, if you're interested. And it is on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, one of the other things I like to talk about on the show, and it's a continual thing because it's continuous in my life, are animal signs. So I've been in Texas for like 5 years, and I'm really used to Texas. Oh, my God, he's there right now on my front lawn. This is amazing. Okay, I was just going to tell you about this red-winged blackbird. It literally just flew onto my front lawn as I was about to say it. I was really used to the birds in Texas, and I started to get, you know, to look around and see what birds were here. And there are all these different birds here. And one of them is the red-winged blackbird, and he's right on my front lawn. I can't even believe that. That is crazy. So you know that this was meant to be. I keep seeing this one bird, and I had to look up its meaning, of course. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but I have a feeling it has to do with someone in my life that I need to pay attention to. Because the other thing is that I've noticed, and like I said, I'm always observing animals. I'm always very curious about their habits and behaviors. I can watch birds, butterflies forever and not get bored. Suddenly, everything I'm seeing is coming in twos. I went to get in my car for work one morning, and I looked over, and I thought, oh, my God, am I seeing this? Two beautiful little rabbits just sitting on the neighbor's front lawn right next to me where my car was parked. And I thought, oh, my God, this is great, in twos. And I went for a walk. I go for a walk up the hills where I live because it's good exercise. And I kept noticing these two white butterflies. They're just kind of weaving in and out of the trees as I was walking, and I thought, huh, they're coming in twos again. It's really interesting. And also now, I used to just see kind of one robin at a time just popping around on the front lawn, and all of a sudden now, I'm seeing a male and a female robin together flying around. And I'm wondering, you know, I was told, of course, in my reading by Lori Bruno, that a new love was coming into my life, you know, somewhere around this time. This was a reading she gave me, wow, back in November. And I was thinking, maybe it's closer. You know, it's got to be. And I'll tell you something else. Sometimes you can ask for clarification on something that Spirit sends you, and you'll get it. Other times you won't. And it's not because, you know, your gift doesn't work all of a sudden, or you need to change your batteries. It's because that's all you're supposed to get. You're not supposed to know the punchline. Life is about living it. It's not about, you know, today I know this, this, and this is going to happen, because that's not really the point of living this life. You know, it's not. So, Yep, the blackbird. And the blackbirds were coming in pairs as well. I think I have to go back and check the book because I'm not as familiar with those kinds of birds, but I believe that it's the male that has the red and yellow on its wings, and the female is a little bit more, blendable. It's got like more of the colors of the tree, like the brownish colors, so that, she can protect the nest. It's amazing. It's completely amazing. And that brings up a thought that I just want to share that's totally random, but it came into my head, so I'm going to project it out there. I've always been kind of a mousy person. I'm not a glitter kind of girl. I don't, want to decorate myself and just, prance around on the streets. I'm just not like that. Never have been. A friend of mine said to me once, in all of nature, it's always the male that is the more flashy or has the most colors or is the more beautiful of the two in the species. Except for humans. In humans, it's the female that's the more beautiful, that's the more, colorful and all that. And I thought, it's kind of funny, and I think in a lot of ways that's kind of true. But I don't think that thought is for that thought came up, because I also had another experience. This is the kind of thing, you got to pay attention to these things and write them down. This is my experience. I went to try on some clothes. And this guy behind the desk says, okay, honey, how many of these are you going to bring in there? You can only have six, so which one are you going to leave behind? And I was like, I'll leave this one. And he's like, okay. But when I walked up, he was like, well, hello there, beautiful lady. And, of course, I'm not totally caught off guard. I'm just trying on clothes, I don't know what's going on. And I was like, ooh. Someone said something nice to me. Yay. On the way out, I decided I didn't want to try on the pair of shorts that I left out there. And he was like, why not? I said, they were a little too shiny. They had that weird kind of sheen to them. And he's like, why? He's like, that's great, though. Don't you like shiny? I said, no. I like to blend. I don't want to sparkle. I'm all set with the blending. And he's like, oh, you know what? It's so great when you sparkle. And he just went on saying these things. And I looked at him. And he really was a really cute guy. Said, you know what? You sparkle already. You don't need anything else to accessorize you. And he actually got embarrassed and covered his face and said, thank you, which I thought was adorable, of course. But, I get the feeling. Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. I get the feeling that I'm being guided by spirit through these different experiences and thoughts that seem to come out of nowhere. It's time for me to step up into the spotlight a little bit more. It's time for me to be seen a little bit more. I've always been so much more comfortable behind the spotlight, behind the scenes. But I just, everything about what goes on in my life seems to be pushing me to the front of the camera, to the front of, in front of the spotlight, which I'm not necessarily comfortable with. So I guess I better start working on that. Huh? What do you think? Pulled a few cards this morning as well for myself from the John Holland Psychic Tarot, which is my favorite deck. And they said the same thing. They said this exact same thing. I pulled the solar plexus chakra card, which has to do with power, which, this whole situation revolves around this whole idea, stepping in front of the spotlight. And I also got the balance card, which means, I need to get in balance with my power. Another card, which it's the card that says light on it, but when I see that card, it's about working with spirit. Just the visual of it alone will tell you why. And then the last card was prosperity. And I knew, this is exactly what I need to do. I need to get myself together where I can be strong enough to get in front of the spotlight and not feel like I need to shy away. And once I do that, I will be able to start doing well. Just start moving forward, progressing towards that part of my life that I've been waiting for. Because I truly feel as though that's what's happening. I woke up with that song Blackbird from the Beatles the last couple of months. Totally random. And one of the lyrics in it that really stuck out was, you've only waited for this moment to arrive. And I thought, that's something. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. And I thought, this is the time. This is the hour. This is what's happening. So pay attention to those thoughts. Journal. You'll start to see the patterns. And once you see that how similar the messages are with each repetition, you'll really start to trust the messages. So that's it for this week. I'm going to hopefully have Lori Bruno with me next week. Can talk a little bit more about what she's all about Hex education, about the Strega, which is a tradition that she's from. I'll learn from her and check her out. In the meantime, confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com is my blog. Find me on Facebook, and I will see you all on the next installment of Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. Take care and have a great week.